93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
And so here we are. The long wait is nearly over. It has been 78 long days since Pompey's last featured in a competitive fixture. But now we have just one more sleep until we start it all over again. The Blues fell just short at the semi-final stage of the playoffs to eventual runners-up Sunderland back in May, which meant a third season in League One looms for Kenny Jackett and his Pompey side. It's time now, though, to put all of the heartbreak of defeat aside and finally eliminate that misery of having no Pompey in our lives for the past 2.5 months. 46 league games await us, with cup matches galore in between those two. We've got you covered between now and May. Every kick of the ball, all of the drama, the frills, the spills, the highs and the lows, they can all be heard right here on Express FM with Pompey Live on hand for full coverage of every Blues game. And we have the Football Hour every Monday and Friday to digest and preview every single detail of this exciting new campaign. Your season starts right here, right now, because it's finally time on DAB Digital Radio, online at expressfm.com and on 93.7 FM for the return of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very, very good evening and a very warm welcome to the Friday Football Hour on 93.7 Express FM. That's right, we are back in business for what is set to be another season of blood, sweat and tears. Not necessarily for us. We've got the easy job of sitting back and watching it all unfold, as well as having a nice comfy studio to talk about it all in. Saying that, we do hope we'll have a few tears of joy come April, May time. I know I will if we do achieve promotion, of course. I'm delighted to say that Stagecoach Bus across the South Coast have continued their sponsorship of the Football Hour for this brand new season. So a big thank you to them, first of all. And whilst on the subject, why not check out their latest travel fares, updates, and maybe even plan your journey over at stagecoach.co.uk. Right, let's get my two studio guests involved with the discussion now. First of all, to my right-hand side, Ryan Lewis, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jake, you all right?
Yes, good, thank you. Great to have you back on the programme. And to my left, a man who has been rather busy this week, Louis O'Donnell. First of all, good evening, Louis.
Hello, mate, all right?
Yeah, I believe you've been at the Valley this week.
Yeah,
the
I
home
have.
Of last season's playoff winners, Charlton
yep.
Athletic,
yep.
thankfully, for the launch of a new campaign for Quest TV. Tell us a bit about that and how did that go for you?
Well, yeah, it was really good, to be honest. If you're getting to see all the other league clubs around the country, getting to know one another and have a bit of banter about how the season's going to go. We met Ian Holloway, some of the pundits up there as well. Obviously, Colin Murray, who is obviously the host of the highlight show. But yeah, it was a really good day out and good to see all the other fans around the country.
I was going to say, has seeing other fans from all the different clubs kind of rejuvenated any excitement for the new season? I guess that really kicked in, but actually the season is just around the corner now.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere out there was really good. A lot of banter going around, especially with some Bolton fans, between us and Bolton. Also, I didn't get to see any Sunderland fans there either, so...
You don't really see many of them about
No, you don't, to be honest, if you know, but yeah.
Unless you're in Trafalgar Square.
Overall, it was a good day out there, yeah.
Cool. Well, a TV appearance and a live radio appearance all in the same week. Not bad, mate, not bad. I know which is your favourite. You don't
yeah,
have to
definitely.
Tell us. Okay, gents, let's talk about the elephant in the room, and I don't mean Ryan's gigantic ears, but undoubtedly the biggest story of the week is the departure of Jamal Lowe to Wigan. It's for an undisclosed fee, which is believed to be towards the £3 million mark. Ryan, I'll come to you first. This one has been on the cards for quite some time. We're not so shocked about it, but the saga is finally over and he has completed his move to Championship outfit Wigan Athletic. Personally, I'm rather gutted, but I think that it is more for sentimental reasons. Perhaps as far as football is concerned, maybe about the right time for him to leave.
Yeah, of course. Wigan came in for him. He wanted championship football. He was a great servant for us. Scored them 2 goals against Notts County to give many fans a brilliant day. Mm-hmm. One to remember, so yeah.
I remember that day fondly. One of my favourite, you know, Pompey memories, having grown up watching the Blues. I guess in a way, Louis, if he hadn't left this summer, or perhaps in January, his contract ran out, or runs out, or was due to run out at the end of this current season, so yeah, next summer. So had both parties, you know, the football club, Jamal Lowe himself, not agreed to exercise the extra 12 months on that contract, he would have gone for free.
Yeah.
And that's something we did not want.
No, definitely not. I mean, he was one of our, say, best footballers coming up in our promotion season of League 2. Obviously scoring those 2 goals, but definitely I agree, we couldn't have let him go for free.
No.
I mean, cashing on the money on him now. Obviously he wants his championship football. Why not go for it?
Yeah. He's played a huge role in Pompey's recent history, as we mentioned, the double at Notts County to seal promotion, that lob at Wembley in the EFL Trophy final back in March. He'll be sorely missed for the good times that he's provided. I think that's a legacy that he'll be proud to leave behind.
Yeah, of course. Like, I think the club did the right thing. Didn't let him go straight away. Got replacements in.
Yeah.
Spent money well as well. So, yeah, I think done a really good deal.
And the replacements that we have brought in, of course, we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. In terms of missing him on the pitch, Louis, there's no doubting he's a fantastic player on his day.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant player, and I think one of the first names on the team sheet last season behind Matt Clark.
Yeah.
But it is a team game. And on paper, I do personally think we look very, very strong going into the new season.
Yeah, I agree that, definitely. With the recruits we've done, replacing the players that departed the club this summer, I do agree, yeah, 100% I can feel this team. It could be a title-winning team. But don't get me wrong, if we don't get the title, I'll take the second spot as well. Just not playoffs.
Not playoffs.
Playoffs again, no
way. We don't want that lottery.
Yeah.
We've yet to mention, actually, the loss of Matt Clark, lads. Another figure who's been at the heart of his squad, not just for the last season, 2 seasons, but, well, for the same amount of time, really, is Jamal Lowe, the last 4 or 5 seasons, in fact. Undoubtedly, first name on the team sheet for quite some time now. Another move, Ryan, which just made sense for all parties involved.
Yep, it made sense. He was always, if we had gone up, he might have stayed with us, but yeah, made a step up, needed. Brilliant.
I mean, you look at the news today, he's been sent out on loan to Derby County, who are a team who regularly finish in the playoffs of the Championship. So a high standard of football to be playing, Louis. And as Ryan just mentioned, had we gone up, yeah, you might have stayed for another season in the Championship. But at the end of the day, I know, you know, Ryan knows, everyone knows, he has got the capability to play at a much, much higher level.
He definitely has. I would have liked to seen him have a chance in the Premier League this season with Brighton, but obviously it's not meant to be. But going to Derby, they were definitely one of the teams last year that looked really promising. Just missed out on the playoffs. So I think hopefully Matt Clark gets some first-team football there, and hopefully he gets recognised on the international duty.
Yes.
With Gareth Southgate, or maybe even the under-21s, just to make his way up there, because he's definitely got the quality for international football.
Now, I don't advertise betting, but I've seen somewhere that it's something like, you know, 22-1 to be named in next year's Euros squad by
great.
Gareth Southgate. Ryan, do you think that's possible? I mean, now he's moved back to the Championship, it might not be as possible. But
yeah, perhaps not. Maybe this one comes a bit too soon for him, as it's only next year. But maybe, who knows, the World Cup.
Yeah, but there's definitely a chance he's a fantastic player. Another name who has departed Fratton Park this week, Louis Dennis. In fact, not long, was it before or after Jamal Lowe on Thursday evening, just 15 minutes apart. That was quite a bombshell to hear. Louis Dennis, Leyton Orient, undisclosed fee. Can't imagine it would be as much of a figure as Matt Clark and Jamal Lowe, but a player who didn't really get much game time here at Fratton Park, Louis, but I think also showed some signs of actually he's a very decent player.
Yeah, definitely. I do agree with that. He's up until Ryan told me earlier on, I thought he was still a youngster, but he's nearly
28, I think.
Yeah,
26.
Yeah,
26.
Yeah, 26. Hitting the, well, could be meant to be hitting his prime right about now, like Marquise. But him making that move to Leyton Orient, lower league football, we got it from non-league football. Yeah, I reckon he could hit the ground running at Leyton Orient, and maybe, who knows, in the future he could come back to us, see what he has to offer us. But then again, he could do really well at Leyton Orient, not want to leave.
I think League 2 might be his level.
Yeah, I agree.
Knock out for League 1, the glimpse we did see, okay, in the Chequer trade was really good, but a couple of times he played, wasn't quite sure in the league.
I think it was just game time, really. But, well, obviously limited his chances at Fratton Park, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Some people make it, some people
don't quite at this level. I mean, Ollie Hawkins brought in from Dagenham and Redbridge in non-league, in the National League. He's made quite a mark in Pompey. Jamal Lowe, obviously, we signed for, I think, 20,000, sold on for nearly 3 million. He obviously made a great impact in League 2, now League 1, and now in the Championship. Louis Dennis, again, just game time at Liberty.
Yeah,
but
just game time, I think.
And I think he will have a great season at Leyton Orient. That's all we have time for in part one of this evening's show. But join us after the break, where we'll be chatting all about the new signings at Fratton Park, as well as some developments off the pitch too. Don't forget as well that you can have your say back home too. Do you have a score prediction? Can you merit a guess as to where the Blues will finish come the end of the season? Do you have an opinion on anything else Pompey related, be it the losses of Clark and Lowe, or maybe even the multi-million pound signing of John Marquis? We'll get to that just after the break. Please do get involved. 81400 is the number to text. Start your message with the word Express. You can email pompey@expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. So don't go far. We'll be back very soon for the continuation of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back once again to the Friday Football Hour. Brand new and ready and raring to go for the brand new season, which we are all extremely excited about. Once again this season, we are proudly sponsored by Stagecoach Buses, who offer student day rider tickets at just £2.50 to top on one of their many buses across the city and beyond too. Show your student ID and you will be on your way. You can also pay via contactless as well. A few more names that we didn't quite have time to mention in part one, as rightly pointed out to me by Ryan to my right, but we've lost this summer, as well as Matt Clark, Jamal Lowe, Louis Dennis, Nathan Thompson. Louis, we'll come to you for this one first of all. Nathan Thompson, right back, who let his contract run out. I believe there were talks back in February to extend that.
Yeah,
he believes he is good enough to play in the Championship now. I think he's a great player. I think we could have benefited with him still being at the club right now.
Yep.
But he's left, and it's been quite some time since we've heard the name. He's not actually found anywhere yet, and which is quite worrying, I guess, for him, considering the season starts, well, tonight in the Championship.
Yeah, I agree as well. I mean, it was obviously in the Bristol City under-23 squad the other week, and I don't know if he managed to play for him, but yeah, he thinks he's Championship quality. Why not keep that Championship quality in his mind and still play for Portsmouth? I mean, he could. We've definitely got the team this season to go up. I would have kept him in the squad, because the amount of times he fell over and done the Nathan Thompson dive, it worked for us, because we always got the free kicks and maybe some penalties as well. But I did really like Nathan Thompson. It's a shame to see him go.
Yeah, that will be sorely missed, Ryan. The as Louis mentions there, the Nathan Thompson
flop.
Yeah. He will be missed, and that's no, you know, disrespect to James Bolton. They're both fantastic right backs from what we've seen so far. I know you're not a footballer. I know we're not footballers. We can't really comment too much. But if you were in that situation, you're a footballer who you think, and a lot of people do agree, that he is probably Championship quality at the moment.
Yeah, of course.
Perhaps in the next year or two as well. Yeah. If you were in his shoes and you've got the opportunity to get promoted to the Championship this season, it's looking positive for Pompey at the moment, and I would not put it past us to, well, win the league. That was my prediction. But if you were in his shoes, what would you have done? I mean, would you have tried to leave and run out your contract, or would you just think, oh, hold on for a minute, we'll try and get promoted with this club and we'll be at my goal next year?
I would have stayed with Pompey 100%. I think his agent might have been in his ear. You could get a Championship move. Agent power these days is massive. I would have stayed at Pompey near the end, see what clubs that could talk to me in the Championship. I don't know. But it seems like he hasn't got a plan at the moment, and Championship clubs could know that, and they could offer him what they want. He might be holding up for a wage demand. He could become desperate, and then Championship clubs know that and offer him less wages than he wants.
I don't think I would have left Portsmouth until I had an offer from a Championship squad. Because if you're letting your contract run out for free and you've got no offers, I'll start getting worried, because I wouldn't want to go pre-season not getting into the gym with all the other players, getting to know the team, the way they play.
Yeah.
And then coming into nearly the end of the transfer window, panicking, and he still might have no club. But obviously, he's free.
After the Bristol City under-23 game, they said that they're not going to offer him a contract.
I was about to mention that. I mean, there are a lot of Bristol City fans out there on Twitter who I've seen who weren't too fond of Nathan Thompson, shall we say, because of a certain game in, but I think it's the League One playoffs a few seasons back when he played for Swindon, goading the Bristol City fans in the away end or the home stand, wherever the game was being played at the time. Not too sure on that one, but they weren't too fond of him because of that. maybe that's why they didn't sign him, because they know that may have not gone down too well. But we do, of course, wish Nathan Thompson all the best.
100%.
We do hope he finds another club, because it can't be nice not having a club. And he is definitely capable of playing in the Championship. I think we can all agree on that. Another player who ran out his contract, and I think for different reasons, Ryan, Dion Donoghue. He's now signed for Mansfield in League Two. What do you think of that one? He's a player, again, who, unlike Nathan Thompson, who was starting week in, week out, Dion Donoghue, a player who, when he played for Pompey, he did show signs of excellence.
Yeah.
And he provided that moment at Norwich, or helped to provide that moment at Norwich, that amazing ball to Andre Green. But unfortunately for him, just bombarded by injuries. And do you think that perhaps stepping down into League Two, starting afresh, having a new challenge, for him on a personal level will benefit him? Because
I think he definitely is League Two, is League One quality.
Yes.
And I think, like you said, injury is a massive problem. Because on his day, I think in our squad, he had the best left foot in the squad.
Yeah.
His crossing was phenomenal. Maybe lacked a defensive cover, sometimes got caught out a bit. But again, injuries. I think if he didn't get as many injuries, he could still be a squad member this season. But Mansfield's got a player and a half on their books now.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the signings we have made and not let go out of Fratton Park so far this season. Before we get to those, we've got a tweet in from Daniel Edmonds. He says, I think we are stronger now than last year. Harness and Downing cover the two gaps we have lost. Plus, Bolton seems a better player than Thompson. Maybe even Naylor at centre-back, McCrory and Cannon in the middle. He says it's got to be 4-4-2, though. Louis, I'll let you pick apart that one. Quite a few bold statements in there. Nothing out of the ordinary, I must say.
No.
We'll start off with 4-4-2. What's your opinion on that one?
I wouldn't mind to see it, but I know it's not Jacket's style, is it? He likes to play with one up front. But with this Marcus player coming in for us, I don't know how Doncaster lined up, but if we do want to feed him those goals and make him one of our best strikers, maybe give 4-4-2 a try for a couple of games. But we can't tell what the manager's going to do, can we?
No, we can't. Another tweet in from Darren Keane. Can't wait for the season. Marquis and Pittman in the same team with Harness and Curtis. It's raining goals. Hallelujah.
Wow.
You look at that, Ryan, and
strong.
It's very strong going forward in particular. As we mentioned, Marcus Harness are coming from Burton Albion. We believe that's near on £1 million signing. We've also got Ollie Hawkins still. Ellis Harrison from Ipswich. We believe, again, between 500 and a million. Brett Pittman's still in the squad, of course. Ronan Curtis still here. Gareth Evans, you can't really forget about him. There's a lot of players who really can play in all different positions. They're all versatile players. That's got to be something
that is
got to look forward to.
Again, that squad depth is versatile, so we can play different formations if we need to. I know Jacket is accustomed to playing the same formation, but credit where credit's due, he's done the business. At the start, I did think maybe I had my doubts.
I had my doubts too.
But yeah. Harness, we went to Burton last season, near the end of the season. He ran the show.
He did. He was amazing.
He was really good. I was really happy with that signing. And then yesterday when we signed Marquis, 26 goals last season for Doncaster. If you can do that again for us, we're going up.
Yeah, 100%.
Those are two really key signings. And I think when you compare our squad on paper compared to, you know, other teams in this division, Louis, you've got to fancy us, not just for promotion, I'm sorry, but for the title as well.
Yeah,
I mean, look at Sunderland. George Honeyman sold to Hull today. I don't think he's their star player, but
no.
They are losing players, and they've not... I don't think they've recruited too well.
No, they haven't.
Or too much, even, this summer. I know a lot of their fans have been crying out for signings. They've not really got that many.
No, I've got to agree. The more and more we keep talking about it, I think we could have the title list, hopefully, come Christmas time. We don't want to get carried away like we did last season, but as long as we work as a team, play as a team, it could be our year. Definitely third time lucky.
Definitely the firepower. I know Matt got going. I just hope... I'm quite confident Downing, Raggett,
Downing
Bolton
did look solid in pre-season.
They can keep us good at the back, because I think we'll be raining goals.
Hopefully. Those players we're going to get into now. We've been talking so much about the attacking power at Pompey, but we've not even really touched on the defensive power that we have got. Ryan mentioned there, Paul Downing from Blackburn, spent last season at Doncaster. He's come in for free following the end of his contract. Ross McCrory, centre mid as well. to partner Tom Naylor, we imagine.
Yeah.
But obviously with a competition of Ben Close as well, that will be a fierce one, and I don't think we can really predict what's going to happen there. We'll talk about that later on, though. Sean Raggett on loan from Norwich, and of course we've still got Christian Burgess. Jack Watmore, okay, he's injured and he's expected to be out until the new year.
Yeah.
But even when that new year comes, or before that new year, again, we've just got so much cover. And I think we had cover last season, and no disrespect to the players last season, but I think the cover we've got now, I think we could honestly field two separate teams not using the same player, and both teams would be able to compete at least in that top six in League One.
Yeah, I agree as well. Maybe Kenny Jackett can do that in like the Cups competition.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Cup run is good, but I want one this season. I'd rather concentrate on the league, get up to the Championship where we want to be, and then hopefully, I do definitely agree that we do have two different teams. Plenty of depth in the team as well, but yeah, I got a good feeling.
I think that's a good thing to have, because last season, I know we started the season really well.
Yeah.
In the early rounds of the FA Cup, Jackett wanted to keep the same team.
Yeah,
to keep the
that's where the injuries
up,
came in.
And got to, what, January, February, and we were running out of steam.
Yeah.
Coming towards the end of the season, when we played Sunderland, we looked leggy.
Yeah.
We have a text in from Ryan's dad, I think. He said, ask Ryan what he wants for dinner. I'll let you think of that one. We have a text in from Jill, I think, in North End. She says, hi all, welcome back. All the same faces in the team for the Pompey Football Hour. I spoke once to Jamal, found him, surely he'll find it very cold up north. We'll have to wear two pairs of gloves. That's the point, he will have to wear two pairs of gloves. Thank you to Jill in North End. And we must also wish the best to both Adam May and also Dan Smith, who have gone out on loan this season. Adam May to Swindon in League Two, and Dan Smith to Cork City in the League of Ireland. A player as well, actually, Louis, we've not mentioned yet. Another player, which you keep flooding in. I keep forgetting about all these signings we've made, and we've got such a big team. Ryan Williams, another winger. He's rumoured to be, or he's apparently injured for tomorrow's game at Shrewsbury, but another player who is a great signer for Pompey, and again, more cover.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard he's pacey. Obviously, he didn't get to show what he's got with us when he played us for us previously, but seeing on Twitter the Rotherham fans, when they obviously came down to the club, they wished him well, and they did see that he did have some promising attributions to their team to give. But yeah, hopefully his injury's not too serious and he's back as quick as he can, so he can hopefully make an impact on the team.
Now, obviously, remaining in League One, Ryan, means that we will still be playing in the EFL Trophy. I don't think it's no longer called the Checkatrade Trophy, but the EFL Trophy, so we can look forward to that again. Yay.
Hashtag provides a lot of fans, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is that another competition we can go for, Louis? No,
well,
I think, you know, we've had that.
It does give chance to, like, Cork into a, maybe not have much game time, and like Williams and things like that to get minutes on the boards, because they might be needed come the new year.
Yeah,
if things happen like last season.
I think come start of last season, Louis, that was really what Kenny Jackett was using the Checkatrade Trophy for. It was giving minutes to the players who weren't getting the minutes on the pitch in the league, and, you know, the FA Cup.
Yeah,
Louis Dennis, for example,
exactly. Yeah,
shone through in the Checkatrade Trophy, again not really given his chance in the league too much, but that's how it started, and we just went on and on and on
and on, and then we changed to our first team and beat Sunderland in the final.
Yeah, we will mention that we beat Sunderland in the final,
exactly.
Who then
Ollie
went
Hawkins
on
with the winner, obviously. I know
obviously,
there's not Ollie Hawkins fans out there, but definitely wouldn't write him off just yet.
No, he's also got a lot to prove, Ryan, this season. I think the added competition that we have to the squad, Ellis Harrison, John Marquis, even Brett Pittman can play up front. Do you think that potentially could play in his favour to spur him on to perhaps improve his game, become a better player, and, you know, push forward into the first team?
A lot of fans get frustrated with him because obviously he's very tall, maybe doesn't win as many headers as you'd want him to, but if you look at Brett Pittman last season, he went out of the team, changed his game, came back with new life, came back as like number 10,
had some pace in
him. That's what I was looking for, some pace in him. Maybe Hawkins can adapt his game and rediscover
work with
strengths.
More experienced heads, learn off of them.
Exciting times. A text in from an unknown name, there's no name on this, They say, please can you wish well Bradley? He overexerted himself after the Marquess signing and fell into a temporary coma.
Oh, God.
I do hope that's not right. No, I'm sure that is just a bit of a joke. Hope he'll be feeling better to listen to the game tomorrow. No, I'm sure you are joking with that one. But it was a fantastic signing, Louis, if you can hold that laugh.
Yes, yeah, it was. Obviously, when I was up at Charlton on Wednesday, it was the rumours where it started of Marquess was going to be signing for us. There were some Doncaster fans up there, and I was obviously having a bit of banter with them. They were saying no. Then the Barnsley fan told me that he was at their training ground, going to sign for them. But as soon as it all started coming in, that Marquess was down at Roco, ready to sign for us, I was absolutely buzzing.
And I think it's safe to say to all the people out there who are doubting the running of the club, saying that no money's being pumped in, it's all a load of rubbish. Well, I think you're a load of rubbish. Because
that's what I mean, yeah.
We spent, I think we reported about nearly $2 million on John Marquess, nearly $1 million on Harness, Ellis Harrison as well, and obviously the wages of these players as well, you take into account, that's a lot of money. And even with the sales of Matt Clark, Jamal Lowe, it's a lot of money in this division, and something I think we're laughing about this time last year with Sunderland.
Yeah.
Hopefully that won't play out in the same vein as it did with the Black Cats. This morning, then, the Pompey away kit was revealed at the club shop. It's a grey sort of dirty white outfit, I guess you could explain it as. I think it's rather smart, actually. And our sports reporter, Matt Drabble, went down to the club shop to catch the thoughts of some Blues fans about the new strip.
So I was down at the club shop this morning finding out exactly what you lot, the Pompey fans, think of the team's brand new away kit.
I think it actually looks really good this year. I wasn't too sure about it when I saw the pictures this morning when it was launched, but coming down and seeing it now, it looks really nice. I like some of the little intricate details you see that the pictures don't pick up.
I like this one. This sort of grey colour one's probably the best one for me.
I think it's probably the best one that we've had.
I'm not a big fan, to be honest, of it. I think it's a bit plain for my taste and that. So, personally, I think I'd probably be going for the purple one for a change.
So, not only were there differences in opinion over the design of this year's shirt, there was also divisions over the club's decision to depart from tradition and change from a white and blue away kit.
I don't think it matters so much on the away kit, to be honest. I think as long as the home kit's blue, white and red, then the away kits, you know, can be a bit creative.
I think it's a time for the club to move forward and become better.
It will definitely be missed. I mean, it's the one we've got now, the grey, is definitely a good replacement. But I think the blue and white, or the white and blue rather, will be missed by a lot of us here at Fratton Park.
No, I don't think so. I think they look for some variation, really. So I think, no, I mean, it still has blue in it. So, yeah, I think it's fine.
And one fan shared his concerns with me as Portsmouth head into a second season with Nike as kit supplier.
I'd prefer them to be actually designed for the club. I think they're better. I think they are quite sort of, they're quite linear, aren't they? I think other teams have been wearing them. They just obviously just changed the, you know, put the badge on it. But I've seen other teams with the same kits, I believe.
I also asked fans whether they think this year's trio of kits can be a lucky charm as Portsmouth push for promotion.
I'd like to think so.
A bit early to call, but I think so. I'm hopeful and very confident we can do it this year.
Fingers crossed, let's hope so, eh?
Hopefully.
We stand a good chance. I think if Marquess can perform, then I think we could find ourselves at least in the playoffs again. Yeah, I think so.
A big thanks to Matt Drabble for going down to the club shop today to gather those opinions. You can read more on that story over at the Express FM website, expressfm.com. We'll be back in just a few moments. Please do not hesitate to get involved during the break, after which we'll be looking more towards the local football, the Pompey women as well, and some developments off the pitch at Fratton Park. You can get involved. You can text the word EXPRESS to 81400. You can email pompey@expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. So don't go anywhere. We'll see you in just a few moments.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored still by Stagecoach Buses across the South Coast. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap and reliable fares across the great waterfront city of Portsmouth and beyond too. Find out more information over at stagecoach.co.uk. Right, it's time now to take a quick detour from the talk of the men for a few moments and turn our attention elsewhere, starting off with our first Pompey women update of the season. Express FM Sports News reporter Matt Drabble has the latest on the ladies' next game.
It's not just the Pompey men who have a big game to look forward to this weekend, but the women too. On Sunday, Jay Sadler's side return to action at the PMC Stadium to host top-flight French outfit Lille in what will be the Blues' penultimate pre-season friendly. Kick-off in Baffins is at the slightly earlier time of midday, and tickets are already available to buy. You can do this by visiting the Pompey Ticketmaster website. These are priced at £5 for adults, £2 for under-18s and over-63s, while accompanied juniors get in for free. You can also buy them on the day of the game. So that's this Sunday, 12 midday kickoff at the PMC Stadium, as the Pompey women host Lille in their penultimate pre-season friendly.
A big thank you to Matt Vare. If you're not busy on Sunday and plan on getting out and about, why not head over to the PMC in Baffins to catch the women in action? In fact, even if you are busy, scrap those plans and get there anyway. We're entering a great time in women's football history, with the sport growing larger and larger each season, and the Pompey women need your support now more than ever. Okay then, let's take a quick look now at what our local sides are up to this weekend. Now we will. Okay, there is one game on tonight at Privet Park as Gosport Borough take on Bognor Regis Town. That's a 7:45 kickoff and is one of the final pre-season friendlies for our local teams. There's another friendly tomorrow at Dover Road. Moneyfields host Chichester City. That's a 3 p.m. kickoff. Also in action tomorrow, kicking off at 3, is Havant Waterlooville. The Hawks entertain Welling United at Westleigh Park for their first game back in the National League South following relegation from the National League last term, despite a valiant debut year in the fifth tier. United Services of Portsmouth are away at Andover New Street in the Wessex League Division 1, 3 p.m. also at Foxcott Park. Petersfield Town, also in the Wessex League First Division, travel to the Dell. No, not the one you're thinking of, but the home of Laverstock and Ford. That's a 3 p.m. kickoff as well. And finally, in the Wessex Premier League, AFC Portchester welcome Shaftesbury to the Crest Finance Stadium, and Baffin's Milton Rovers have a trip to Amesbury Town. OK, so those are where your local teams are this weekend. We have a couple of texts in now. John in Hillsey. Hi, guys. I'm looking forward to the new season, but I'm a bit concerned about Ben Close. Could get a bit sidelined with our new midfield signings. During the last quarter of last season, his contribution was massive. Scored some great goals from midfield, and I think he was top goal scorer in the last 15 games with 7 goals. A great return for any midfield player. If we had bought him, he would definitely be in the team for the first game of the season. John in Hillsey. Louis, Ben Close. We mentioned a little bit earlier about him and how, you know, his chances this season with the signing of Ross McCrory from Rangers, they highly rate him. He's set to be a similar player to Ben Thompson, so we've heard.
Yeah.
Tom Naylor as well. Really, there's not really much shafting him from the team.
No.
But also Ben Close, as rightfully mentioned, I think it was 7 goals towards the end of last season. Great goals as well. Well taken. He's come of age. I think he's developing really, really well as a player. Can you see him getting as much game time this season? Or do you think that will be more for cup games, unfortunately? I know it's difficult to say because obviously injury is going to occur.
I mean, pre-season, when he played along Ross McCrory against Stevenage, they did make a good partnership. So hopefully Kenny Jackett saw that. But I wouldn't write Ben Close off now, because his form from like the end of last season definitely will go into his favour. But he could be a cup player, but I don't want that to happen because I really did like him.
Paul, I think Marquis is the signing, the missing piece in Kenny's jigsaw. He has a great work ethic and brings much more mobility up front. Was that an area, Ryan, in which you think we lacked last season? Perhaps the goals up front, and do you think that's been cemented now with the signing of Marquis?
Up front, yes. Obviously, we had Jamal Lowe, Ronan Curtis scoring goals, Evans scoring goals, but yeah, I think we do miss that 20... goal striker. I know Pittman first season scored more than that, but obviously he's going to be number 10 now, so yeah, I do think that he might be the missing piece in our jigsaw.
Yep. So Sharon on Twitter, regarding the Pompey kits, she says they're growing on me, I've got to admit. And Louis, I assume you've seen the kits. The home one, that's gone down well in some departments, not so well in some departments, but the third kit, the purple one, again a bit of a Marmite one, you either love it or you hate it, and this new away one which was released today, the grey outfit. what are your thoughts on the kits as a whole? I mean, in my opinion, I was a little bit sceptical about each of the shirts.
Yeah.
However, I think after the games at Crawley and Woking, having seen the third kit in action, actually, you know, in front of me being played in, I thought it looked quite smart. I've seen the Pompey kit being worn with, you know, the shorts and the socks.
Yeah.
I think that looks quite smart altogether. And I think the away kit's quite a number as well. What are your opinions?
I like them. Don't get me wrong, the home one I was a bit iffy about, but I've brought it myself and it is growing on me. It does look nice, but there was some pictures coming around on social media of the red part being a white part that honestly did look much more better. Mm. But the grey one, I think the grey one could be the most popular one out of all the three. But I reckon they'll be wearing that tomorrow at Shrewsbury. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it could prove very, very popular. But hopefully it's a good omen for us and it gets us promoted.
I think everyone's going to have opinions. The club can't win. People wanted more red. People wanted no red. Yeah. Can't win. Personally, out of the three, the home one is probably my least favourite.
Yeah.
But everyone else's favourite. Yeah, exactly.
Personally, I think the home one's my favourite. I quite like the red on my sides. But that's what you mean. When it comes to kits, like you say, Ryan, you cannot please everyone. No, it's something that, you know, only one design can be made per kit. Someone's not going to like it. Someone's going to absolutely love it. You just got to deal with it, move on. If you don't like it, don't buy it. It just is really
as long as it doesn't affect their play on the pitch,
exactly.
And I'm happy with it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the players seem to like it from what we've heard so far. Chris Underwood on Twitter, he has tweeted in saying, evening lads, now Louis Dennis has gone, do you think another number 10 role player will come in? Also, it's good to hear you talk, Jake, rather than not getting a word in. I haven't. Henry Deacon, if you're listening, Underwood 1200 on Twitter, if you want to have a little argument with him. No, I'm joking, Chris. But in all seriousness, the number 10 role, Ryan, do you think we've filled that, or do you think we've already got the players in that position to play that position?
I think we've already got the players to play that position, personally. Obviously, Jackie said Pittman's can play there, Harness can play there, Ben Close, I think, has got a footballing ability, he plays more forward. Now we've got McCrory and Naylor. Ben Close can play there, I think. He's got the passing ability, he's got the drive, and like he's got the goals now. Last season, he's got 7 and 15, did you say earlier?
Yeah. A good evening to Eric Eisner, who is listening in tonight. Good evening, Eric, from the United States of America. After the break, we'll be turning our attention to tomorrow's game at Shrewsbury. Myself, Louis and Ryan will be here to go through everything you need to know how to get there, their star players, our star players, who we expect to be playing in that match. And also, we're going to want your score predictions. We'll get these two gents' score predictions as well. If you haven't done that yet, please do it right now. You've only got around 15 minutes or so to do that. You can text your message starting with word express to 81400. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, or you can find us on Twitter at expressfm. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the last time tonight to the Friday Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored, of course, by Stagecoach Buses, who offer adult day rider tickets at the discounted price of £4.10 if you buy via the Stagecoach Bus app on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Now, we come to the point of the show where we really start to look a little deeper into Pompey's next fixture, which this time around is away to Shrewsbury Town, the Blues' curtain raiser for the new season. However, before the three of us in the studio do that, let's hear from Mason Jordan, who is here now with all the vital information you need to get to Montgomery Waters Meadow.
So this Saturday, Pompey supporters will start the 2019-20 season with an away trip to Shrewsbury Town's Montgomery Waters Meadow Stadium, Oakley Road, Shrewsbury, SY26ST. Home of Shrews since 2007, the stadium has a capacity of just under 10,000 and is located on the outskirts of Shrewsbury. Blues fans will be in the DM Recruitment North stand. The stand includes platform seating for disabled fans accessed by lifts. Last summer, Shrewsbury installed a rail seating area in the home stand. The six rows containing 550 rail seats can be switched between standing and sitting. If you're heading there by road, it is situated on the south side of Shrewsbury, a short distance from the A5 and A49. From the M6 junction 10A, take M54 towards Telford and Shrewsbury. At the end of the M54, continue onto the A5. After about 7 miles, there is a roundabout at the junction for the A49. Bear left at this roundabout, still following on the A5. At the next roundabout, take the third exit on to the B4380 Thieves Lane. Continue on Thieves Lane, going over two roundabouts, and this will lead you to Oakley Road. The stadium is further down Oakley Road on the left. The car park at the stadium is reserved for permit holders only, and match day parking is prohibited in the nearby retail park and nearby streets. So parking on the grass verges near the stadium could lead to a fine. Wyvale Garden Centre, Percy Throwers, about 10 minutes walk from the ground, will have a few spaces on the first come first serve basis at £5 a car. Meol Brace Bowling Club off Upper Road has a car park for which there will be a charge. At the top of Oatley Road there is Meol Brace Roundabout around the roads leading onto the roundabout. There are a number of private car parks providing matchday parking, again charging you £5 a car. One is situated behind the petrol station on the corner of Roman Road near the Wild Pig Pub. Alternatively, if you're thinking of heading to Shrewsbury to eat and drink before the game, around 50 minutes walk from the ground and signposted from the A5 is the Meol Brace Park and Ride, where you can park and then catch the bus into town and back. Depending on traffic, the journey should take around 15 minutes. If you are heading up on train trays from Portsmouth to Shrewsbury, either via Newport South Wales, a journey of around 5.5 hours, or via Winchester to Birmingham and New Street, a journey of about 2.25 hours. Trains run regularly from Birmingham New Street to Shrewsbury, and that journey will take around an hour. Alternatively, trains run half hourly from London Marylebone to Birmingham Moor Street, a journey of about 2 hours. From there is a short signed walk to Birmingham New Street for onward travel to Shrewsbury. If you're looking to get a bite to eat or have a quick drink within 15 minutes walking distance of the ground, formerly known as Brooklands Hotel, is the Wild Pig Mill Road. The Wild Pig will be welcoming Blues fans and has a small car park for which there is a £5 charge. The Wild Pig has real ale, serves food and has a big screen too.
Mason there with all you need to know if you are the unfortunate designated driver for tomorrow's game or if you're heading up to Shropshire via train. Ryan actually has just mentioned that there's a Lidl nearby and he sounds very excited by that. So we know what he's having for lunch, but the answer we all want to know, Ryan, is what are you having for dinner? Your dad really wants to know.
I reckon a lasagna.
Lasagna?
Yeah, your favourite, Jake.
Got to love a bit of lasagna. Controversial opinion. Bit of mayo on the side.
No, definitely
lovely.
Not.
Jubbly. Okay, let's hear once again from the Portsmouth Breakfast Show host and station producer, who provides an insight now into what we can expect to see from tomorrow's opponents to the returning feature. This is this week's opposition.
Pompey Live. This week's opposition.
Competitive football is finally back on the agenda, and first up for Kenny Jackett's Pompey is a trip to Shrewsbury Town in Sky Bet League One. It's safe to say there's been a few changes around Fratton Park over the summer, both on and off the pitch, so this weekend's game in Shropshire proves one to be excited for, with a rejuvenated Blues side ready to put last season's playoff heartbreak quickly behind them.
The manager.
Former Premier League defender Sam Ricketts, who played in the top flight with Hull City and Bolton Wanderers, is the man in charge at New Meadow. Ricketts, who was nabbed from his first managerial job at Wrexham to join the Shrews last December, was part of Pompey boss Kenny Jackett's Wolves side, who stormed League One in 2014 with a record points tally of 103. The 37-year-old has 8 wins from 32 in charge at Shrewsbury, but guided the club away from relegation towards the end of last season, with plans now to emulate the club's impressive campaign of 2017-18, in which they finished third and lost to Rotherham in the playoff final.
One to watch.
Veteran striker Steve Morrison could be one to keep an eye out for during this match. The 35-year-old Loney has pedigree at this level, in particular experience in the playoffs, scoring a famous 85th minute winner for his parent club Millwall in League One playoff final against Bradford City back in 2017. Morrison also played under the management of Kenny Jackett during the forward's first spell at Millwall.
Top scorer.
With league season yet to begin, we look back at pre-season to determine the side's top scorer so far. That award goes to Fajiri Ockenberry, who netted twice for the Shrews throughout their friendlies. The 24-year-old also ended the previous campaign as the side's leading top scorer with 10 League One strikes.
Current form.
From their pre-season friendlies, Shrewsbury managed just 1 win from 5, a 2-1 victory at home to Scottish Championship side Dundee United in their final warm-up match. Home losses against Sheffield Wednesday, Newport County and Aston Villa, all of which were inflicted without a goal scored to their name. That came before a 2-2 draw at Cheltenham and that eventual win for them. But what will it be as Pompey kick off their 2019-2020 EFL League One campaign against Shrewsbury Town?
Thank you to Mason Jordan once again for providing us with that feature which returns. You can hear that again between 2 and 3 tomorrow right here as Pompey Live makes a comeback for all of the build-up of the game at New Meadow. We have a message in from Ben Chu, who is listening in on holiday in Italy. He says, the squad looks very strong. Great new addition with the signing of Marquis. I'm going for a 2-0 prediction tomorrow at Shrewsbury. We'll come to the predictions of my two guests here in the studio a little later on. But we touched on it a little bit earlier on, in particular with you, Louis, with Ben Close in the number 10 role. That could be experimented tomorrow. Can you actually see that happening? I know perhaps it's something we want to see at some point.
No, I can't see it happening. No, not with Ross McCrory and Tom Naylor playing.
In the 10 role.
In the 10 role, yeah. I mean, there's other players that can play there, of course. You know, Gareth Evans, an experienced figure, has been used in that position more recently. Could be in contention. He's a positive attacking mindset, never gives up, seems to always give 110%. Yeah. He's quite often, actually, an unsung hero in midfield. Do you think he could be in contention?
For me, it's either him or Pittman.
Yeah.
Some people, Pittman's obviously not a striker anymore, but are you going to drop him? His pre-season, how many goals has he scored in pre-season?
Well, yeah.
Scoring goals.
I think he's scored every game and he's played in.
Scoring goals. Yeah. That's what you need. Confident striker.
Yeah. I can't imagine that either one of John Marquis, Ellis Harrison, or even Ollie Hawkins, for that matter, being budged for a player who seems to be proved more useful in the last season or so, in my opinion, in that central attacking role. But he has had a good pre-season, like you say, and seems to be selling himself very well to Kenny, showing us all, in fact, that he has still got that knack of scoring goal after goal, despite not being favoured as much last season. A selection headache on the cards for Kenny, but it's a nice one to have.
Good one to have. Yeah. Brilliant one to have, I think. If he maybe does go for Pittman tomorrow behind Marquis, and yeah, goals. Or goes to Evans, a creative midfielder, obviously, workhorse, might give some more power.
I love that. That's really inspirational. Yeah, goals. Yeah, goals. No. We have a lot of firepower, as we have previously mentioned. And we also mentioned that he could revert to a standard 4-4-2. It's been suggested that way, being able to use two of our four available strikers once, however, obviously losing that player in the hole behind. Louis, it's anyone's guess, really, as to who will be starting tomorrow's game. But how would you personally like to see the Blues line up from top to bottom?
Supermack and goal. Walks. Down in.
You've forgotten who we signed.
No, actually, I had it on my phone, the lineup there. You know, go to Ryan for a second.
Go to Ryan. Yeah, go Ryan, to Ryan. What's your starting lineup for tomorrow's game?
I think he's going to go for is McGilvery in goal. I think he'll go for Anton Walkes personally, because he had a really good preseason.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he'll play Downing with Burgess, just because consistency last season, he knows McGilvery. I think first few games Burgess will play with Downing. Brown, holding midfield, will be McCrory and Naylor. And I think he'll go with Harness, Pittman and Curtis with Marquis up top. But I wouldn't be surprised if Harrison started and Marquis on the bench.
Impact sub, maybe. Yeah, ease maybe. Him in gently. A tweet in from Paul on Twitter. My preferred starting 11, Craig McGilvery, Anton Walkes, Paul Downing, Tom Naylor at centre-back, Lee Brown, Ross McCrory, Ben Close in centre mid, with Marcus Harness, Ronan Curtis, Brett Pittman and John Marquis up front. And he's made that really awkward to read out, because he's literally named the starting 11 by the first names of the players. So that's kind of thrown me off a bit. That's also another
on your toes.
Yeah, exactly. Three players quickly before we do head off, because we are running really short of time. Injuries apparently to Sean Raggett, Bryn Morris and Ryan Williams, ruling them out of the game against Shrewsbury, allegedly. Now, Kenny Jackett this time last season did say that Jamal Lowe was supposedly injured for our opening game against Luton. Obviously, he came on, made all the difference, and we won that game. So I wouldn't be too surprised if we did see one or two of those names mentioned tomorrow at Shrewsbury. Right, we really are running out of time. Ryan, thanks for joining us this evening. Louis, thank you as well, mate. I'm going to ask you both for a score prediction for tomorrow's game, starting with Ryan.
3-1. Last time I was on the show, I got it bang on, so I'm saying 3-1.
3-1. First goal scorer?
Pittman.
Louis, score prediction, first goal scorer?
3-0, Marquis hat-trick.
3-0, John Marquis hat-trick. Bold. 3-0, 3-1. Lads, thank you very much.
Cheers.
I'm going to go for a little bit different. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Pompey win. I think John Marquis will also get the score sheet. I think it will be a brace, and I think it will set Pompey well on their way, as we like to say, to the championship. And that draws a close to the opening football hour of the new season. I'd like to thank both Ryan Lewis and Louis O'Donnell for joining me live in the studio for this evening's show, as well as you back home for getting yourselves involved via the text, tweets and emails. Reg Rose and Mason Jordan are both in the corridor right now, ready to take over in the studio to bring you the weekend request show. So if you have a tune you want to hear between now and 8, then get in touch by texting the name of your song to 81400, starting your text with the word Express. And then from 8 o'clock, Gloria Miller is back for 2 hours of music for the soul before Hipshaker rounds off your Friday from 10 p.m. Ian McGuinness will be waking you up tomorrow morning with a Portsmouth Breakfast show from 7 o'clock. He has all the musical features, local events, sports news, travel news and of course great music to get you through to the morning. And not forgetting the big one, Pompey Live returns tomorrow afternoon from the usual time of 2 o'clock. Myself, Liam Howes and the legend Alan Knight would all be live from Shrewsbury to provide full coverage of the Blues opening League One fixture at Montgomery Waters Meadow Stadium. Commentary of that one comes live via Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham from 3 p.m. I'm back here on Monday to preview Tuesday's game against Birmingham in the Carabao Cup. It wasn't to be last time round, but as they say, third time's a charm. We hope to catch your attention tomorrow. Until then, play up, Pompey.